session number 9416, Reel 1.
Mr. Harry Smith, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Smith?
I was born on August 27, 1897, at a place called Sobey Bridge.
What did your father do for a living?
He was an engineer.
What sort of background did you have then? Was it a comfortable upbringing you
had? Oh, yes. Yes, it was. I was the youngest of seven, and the seventh child.
But there were, you were comfortably, you had enough food and clothes? And
oh, yes, yes.
Can you tell me something about your education?
Well, I went to the elementary school, and when I started at work, I started work at 12. Half time.
So you never had anything but elementary education?
Up to that point, but afterwards, yes.
Okay. When you started work half time, what work did you start?
It was in the worsted mill, and you duff bobbins, what they call a duffer. Half of the day you went to school, and half of the day went to work.
What did you do as a duff bobber?
Well, you took the changed the bobbins when the machine was finished, you see. They filled these bobbins with worsted. And then when the bobbins were full, the machine stopped. And they called out, "Doff!" And of course a young fellow did all their own like myself and take all these bobbins off. And then they put new bobbins on, empty ones. And of course the machine started again then.
What were conditions like in the mill? Working conditions?
Well, it started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they worked half time, I should say about 26 hours a week. A full time person worked 55 hours.
Was it hard work for you at that age? You're only 12.
Well, no, but it wasn't a job that I enjoyed, but it was a job that I had to go to, you see. People weren't as well off then as they are today, and when their brothers worked, of course, I wanted to be a teacher, but it didn't work that way, so I had to go into the mill.
There wasn't anything else that you could do?
But after 14, when I left school, I went into the engineering as an apprentice. Six shillings a week.
How did you get that position as an apprentice?
Well, my father worked as an engineer, and so he asked for me to be taken in as an apprentice.
Where exactly? What works was this you were taking on at?
It was machine toolmakers, Francis Berry and Sons, Sobey Bridge.
Now, can you tell me exactly what you did there as an apprentice?
Well, for a start, I went into the drawing office and did a lot of photography work. And then, after 2.5 years, I went into the machine shop and worked on the bench.
What was the photography work you'd have to do?
Making blueprints of the machinery, you see. In the drawing office, they made these drawings, and then they made a blueprint of them, which they sent away when people wanted their machines, or put in an inquiry for them.
So, and then later you went onto the bench. What work did you do on the bench? What training were you given as an apprentice?
Well, as a fitter. That meant to say you you fit the parts into the certain machines. He used the tools, the scrapers, and the files, and the tools that he used in that class of work.
Were you still doing this when the war broke out?
Yes.
That's where you were when the war broke out?
Yes.
What can you remember about the outbreak of war in 1914? What happened on the day? Do you remember any memories of that day?
Yes, I was on holiday at Barnsley at the time, and I went along with my brother-in-law to Doncaster Racecourse. And all the territorials were assembled on that course on that particular day.
What was the feeling amongst the crowd at the race course?
Well, in those days, they didn't think that... they thought they were fighting for the honour of Britain, and they didn't expect all these casualties, etc., that happened afterwards. They'd no idea what were going to happen. But they were... It was a change for young fellows, you see, and some of them were ambitious to go to join up to fight for the country. They were very patriotic in those days.
And you shared that mood, did you?
Yes, I was. Then I wasn't eligible at that time.
You'd be about 17.
Yes, I was 17.
So how did the war change? What was happening at work and at home? Time.
Well, we did a lot of overtime in those days, and of course then, when I went in as a draftsman, I went to the evening classes, Sawbridge Technical School, and after I passed all the exams there, I went on to Halifax Technical College, and I was still going there when I joined up.
So between your work and your overtime and your attending technical college in your own time, you must have had a very busy life at that time.
I was, and then I was in the choir. I was a chorister at that time.
Had you been in the Church Lads Brigade or the Scouts?
No.
What as the war went on, What did you hear about the war from the front in 1914 and 1915? What did you hear about what was going on and the casualties and conditions?
According to the papers, we're doing marvellously, but if you gained 100 yards, you were very clever and doing very well. But
did you believe that at the time?
Well, we had to do. I mean, say, we had no other way of checking.
Did you understand the conditions that the troops were facing out in France and the other fronts?
We had an idea, but we never realised what it was really like.
Did you ever see any soldiers home from leave?
Yes.
Did you ask them about it?
Well, they did talk about it, but on the whole, the soldiers that returned never spoke about it. And people thought there was... if they said anything, they didn't believe them. A lot of people couldn't believe the conditions were like that.
Now, in 1914 and 15, what did you think about enlistment? Were you ever tempted to enlist early, or what did you feel about the prospect of enlistment?
Well, in 1916, I attested on March 1st, 1916.
Was that under the Derby scheme?
Yes.
You tell me exactly...
They had one of the armlets... you wore an armlet to show that you were a tested man.
What exactly happened when you were tested? What was the procedure?
Well, more or less they got all your pedigree and sounded your chest and things like that, but not a full medical examination. And you were told that you wouldn't be called up because you were required in that particular job because there were shorter shells. I think it was in 1916 that There was a call that came after the Battle of the Somme for shells. They were short of shells. And so these machine tools that they made at Francis Berry and Sons, the War Office, they went to these big concerns, and of course they turned shells on them then when they completed lathe.
So when you were tested, you were told that you had to stay where you were.
Yes.
That you weren't wanted in the army as far as they were concerned.
No.
Did, before or after that, did you ever have any trouble with people handing out white feathers or people pointing you out? Did that ever happen to you?
Well, when you had this armlet on, they left you alone.
What about before you got the armlet?
Oh, well, nobody up to that time. You see, they didn't worry. They thought everything were going well, more or less.
So you never actually got given a white feather?
No, I was never given a white feather.
After the Somme, there were a lot of casualties from West Yorkshire and from the Powell's battalions and from Bradford and all the surrounding areas.
Yes.
Did people become aware of?
Yes,
the scale?
And they got very worried then. You see, because after the Russian settlement with the Germans, they transferred all these men onto the Western Front.
That would be in 18. I really
18.
Mean about in 16, after the casualties from the Somme, whether people were aware of.
Well, they were worried because they in quite a few households and men that the lads that I were brought up with had been killed, and the people were worried.
So, you were tested in March 16.
Yes.
What happened then after that?
Well, nothing happened for a considerable time. I was going to work and going to the evening classes, and there wasn't much entertainment for anyone at home, you see, because most of the lads had gone up, and if you went into certain places, they looked askant at you if you're still all in one piece, more or less. There's so many had been injured and lost their limbs and things at that time.
Were you affected? What did you feel about people who looked at you like that? Did you resent it? Or?
Well, you didn't go into the company again to avoid it, but on the whole, we did pretty well. Was there
any question of introducing women into the factory, the machine tool factory?
Oh, they all came in, the women, then.
Can you tell me exactly what they did in the factory?
Well, they worked the lathes, the machines. They did quite a few jobs, the women folk that came in.
What did you think of the way they worked?
Well, they weren't as skilled as the men that had been brought up with the job, but they did just the job that they were told to do, and there were more repetition work then than previously in the years before the war.
Because you had gone on to a more mass production?
Yes.
Was there any resentment of women doing that sort of work? Did any of the older men object to it?
Well, some didn't. The older men didn't like it, but some enjoyed it because some went to have a drink at night with them, but not me.
So there wasn't much trouble in the factory about the introduction of female labour?
No.
Did the trade unions mind at all? Were you unionised there?
Yes, the trade unions were in being then. I remember you more or less had to be in a trade union. If you weren't in a trade union, then you were in trouble, because they did all sorts of tricks with you, hiding your tackle and things like that. But if you were in the union, well, that was all right. To get on all right with them.
Did they object to the women working, the trade unions?
No, it was government procedure at that time, and they had to agree.
You were an apprentice. As the war went on, how did your job develop? Did you just carry on doing what you had?
Well,
or did you become?
You were still apprentice until you were 21. Well, I never finished the apprenticeship. I was about 4 months short of, 5 months short of finishing the apprenticeship. But of course I was a good scholar then, because I was up against it in the last years, the seventh year, because I was dealing with grammar school boys, and they'd had a education all those years, and that to work very hard to keep pace with them. But I did, and I passed my City and Guilds examination in engineering.
So, what happened then? When exactly did you actually get called up? How did that come about?
I really shouldn't... It wouldn't have mattered if I hadn't gone, in a way, because I could have still got out of it, because I was in a reserved occupation. But after the debacle in March, when the Germans broke through...
That's in 1918?
Yes. They were ready then to take men in, you see. They'd got a sufficient number of shells and that. Well, they never had enough, but they were in that position they could mount offences. And so I decided that I'd go, and they accepted me in April 12, 1918.
What made you decide that? Because you must have known by then that it was a tough war. What, and you were quite safe at home in your reserve occupation. What, can you remember what motives you had?
Well, I thought I ought to go because so many had been killed, and we were in a terrible state. They were still driving back, you see, all the time. The Germans were pushing away, and so I felt it. And all, more or less all my pals had gone up, and you know, if you weren't going to school and studying and going to the choir, well, it wasn't the same.
So it was a sense of duty?
A sense of duty, yes.
Did you feel very apprehensive as you...
Well, you wonder what you're going in for, but once I make a decision, I make a decision, and that's it. No question about it.
So you made your decision. What happened on the 12th of April?
Went to Leeds, and from there I was registered and sent, and quite a batch of recruits were entrained at Leeds station for York. And, I went to Fulford Barracks at York.
What did your mum think? And your parents really think of you...
Well, nobody wanted you to go. All relatives and that, they said, why go? Stay at home. But,
what about your contemporaries that you had left? Your workmates, what did they think?
Well, there weren't many of that age left, you see. No, quite a few, but there was something wrong with most of them if they stayed at home. You see.
Before you went to Fulford, when you went to Leeds, did you get a more thorough medical examination to check your health?
Yes.
What did that consist of at that time?
Well, I had to try mainly the heart condition and the eyesight and things like that. But, they were pretty sound, they were very... pretty healthy. And
can you remember what you were classified as? Were you put out as A1?
Yes, A1.
Were you given any uniform or equipment before you got to Fulford Barracks?
No, you went in your ordinary clothes, still. And it was a long time before I got any uniform. I was down in Woolwich before I got a uniform.
What happened when you arrived at Fulford Barracks?
Well, we were the squad. I call them a squad. Was sent to Fulford Barracks, and we were told at night, you know, it was a long sort of dormitory in this place, and there was miners and other recruits. And during the night, a battle started. Somebody said something, and everything were in pitch darkness, and coal scuttles came across the room and things like that. I know I put my head down under the clothes and hoped for the best. And this racket went on for about an hour, I should think, and then regulars came in then, and Sergeant Major ordered us all into the barrack square and told us they could, we could go back after we'd had this lecture, but if there were any more of it, we'd stop there all night in the barrack square, and they'd put a guard on us. And then the next day we went to Strensel.
When you joined up, did you know what did you join up into? Did you just join the army, or did you go straight into the Royal Engineers?
No, joined there. Just into the army.
When were you assigned to whatever you were assigned to?
Did you know when you were sent down? I was registered as an engineer, I was sent down to Woolwich.
Oh, so that you were still just a common infantryman,
yes,
at Fulford and Strensel, and it was after that you were divided off.
There were 300 sent down engineers to Woolwich.
Did you do any training while you were at Fulford, or was it just an overnight stop?
We went to Strensel and had a rifle drill.
What can you remember about your rifle drill training?
Well, not a lot at the moment. We seem to we didn't actually fire anything. We had to, the use of the rifle, the standing to attention and the way to hold the rifle and to your shoulder, ready to fire and things like that.
Did you have any other training at Strensel? Or was
no.
it just rifle drill? You didn't go on route marches or bayonet drill?
No.
Just rifle drill?
I was only at York one night.
Strensel was just the shooting range then?
Yes.
So you were still staying at Fulford. And that was from the 12th to the 14th of
Yes, the
April.
14th on the...
of April.
Yes.
So it was just a couple of days. On the 14th, I believe you were sent for your trade test at Woolwich. Can you tell me how all that happened, how that came about, that you were selected for that?
You were given what any fitter could do that had been an apprentice. You were given a block about 3 inches square. No, 4 inches square, with a round hole, and you to file out this round hole to make it a perfect square, and a temple, templar they called it, had to be fitted, and it had to be fitted correctly. If it didn't fit like an ordinary machine, he weren't fit to do the job. And I passed. And out of 300 that were there, the 30 passed the test in Woolwich Arsenal.
Did you find that reasonably easy, that test, or was it a difficult test, a stiff one?
Well, it wasn't to me. I mean, it's because I'd done a lot of filing in those days, and it was quite easy to me. But it took time, you
Would
see.
You regard it as a fair test of competence?
Oh, yes. Because
so
they knew then that you had served your times.
So the ones who'd failed, you'd agree, weren't suitable?
No. They weren't well trained, or they'd just said they were, and they weren't.
What else happened while you were at Woolwich for that trade test? Were you given any other tests at all?
No. At Woolwich, we did more fatigues that were... various jobs, guard duties and all that kind of thing, and a few instructions on what you should do in the army.
Were you posted to a unit after this trade test?
You mean a division or...?
No, I mean to a unit. Were you posted to... Was this when you were posted to the artillery?
Yes. Well, it was a training ground there for recruits at Brookhill Barracks at Woolwich. It was called Brookhill Barracks.
So you were now in the Royal Artillery?
Yes.
What can you tell me about Brookhill Barracks? What sort of conditions of living was it there? What was your accommodation?
Wood huts. and conditions were pretty rough. There had been a lot of rain, and everywhere seemed to be flooded, and it was cold.
So the huts were actually damp inside?
Yes.
What about your food? What sort of food did you get at that time?
Well, McConaughey's and things like that. Not good food, not the stuff I'd been used to at home.
So you didn't get, you were given tinned food even while you were in England?
Yes, soups and that kind of thing.
And it wasn't as good as you'd had at home?
Oh, no. No.
How did you get on with the army lifestyle, you know, the lack of privacy and the discipline and that sort of thing that was established?
Well, one had to get used to it. That's all I can say.
Did you have any trouble getting used to it?
No. No.
What training did you start now you were at Brookhill Barracks?
We were more fatigues. Given a few lectures about what we should do in the army with the various regulations. Altogether, it wasn't a very art place. It was conditions were easy.
Were you trained at all in the guns you'd be using?
No.
So you still haven't seen the guns?
No.
Had you got your uniform yet at this time?
Not until April 23rd. And
what can you remember about the issue of your uniform?
Well, I remember getting the slacks first and putting them on one side whilst trying on the riding breeches. And I had to a few pairs to try on because I had some pretty good knees, and whilst I was doing this, I had my back turned to the slacks. When I looked round, they were missing. So I was advised then to get in touch with the tailor and buy a cheap pair, which I did, and replenish my kit with second-hand pair of slacks.
Who had taken them? Did you know who'd stolen them?
I have no idea. I'm going to say they're very quick and people that steal things.
What else happened while you were at Brookhill Barracks? Are there any other memories you've got?
Want for draft on
April 30th.
From Woolwich.
So you were drafted. Was this, where were you being drafted to?
Luton.
And were you joining an artillery unit there?
I was training with the artillery.
And which part of the artillery? Was it just
the gunners?
But which unit? Was it just a training ground?
A training ground, yes. Training.
So it wouldn't be a brigade of artillery or
no
battery. What happened when you got to Luton?
Well, Luton was a place called Biscot Camp. It is now the Luton Airfield.
And what training did you undergo there?
Well, gas drill, quite a lot of gas drill.
Can you tell me about gas drill then? What was that?
Well, you went into the trenches at the top of the hill, and whilst you were there, they fired these gas shells at you. Have these gas masks on. I remember I'd had some tripe and onions the night before and I went sick.